So we are kicking off this new series, Influencers. So I want you to think about influencers and what comes to mind when you think about that word, influencers. For most of us, right, it's probably social media, somebody with a platform, maybe somebody trying to convince you of a certain way of thinking, or maybe trying to sell you something. But it's somebody trying to get something across and to influence you. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but we're being influenced by someone who was influenced by an influencer. I'm serious. Think about this, all right? We had a men's small group camp out a couple months ago, and one of the guys said, I'm bringing something new. I saw it on social media, and it's going to be great. And it was dill pickle chip dip. I like dill pickles, but I don't know about in a chip dip, but I'm going to tell you, I was shocked, and I was influenced, okay? It was incredibly good. He did a great job making it. And so without even realizing it sometimes, we are influenced by someone who was influenced by an influencer. And so our words, our actions, our opinions have sway over other people, whether we realize it or not. And then when we think of that general term, influencers, our mind typically goes to someone who has the reach, the visibility, or the ability to influence others' behaviors and opinions, whether that's in a positive way or you might even see that as a negative way. But as we talk about being an influencer this morning, that's not the definition we're using. We're coming at this from the approach of is a Christ follower who points people consistently towards Jesus through everyday word and actions. And the encouraging thing about that is that has nothing to do with your social status. It has nothing to do with your personality or a platform you may or may not have. It has everything to do with relationships. And so I want us to talk about that this morning, about relationships and the influence that we have on other people's lives. And as I was thinking about that, think about growing up, the impact that people had on your life. Even the words that people said or said to you that have stuck with you for your whole life. Things like growing up, your dad might have said, if you were standing in front of the TV, someone's been drinking muddy water. Is it just me? Okay, maybe it was just my dad, right? Woo, all right. Or maybe you ran out the door as a kid and you left the door open and your parents said, were you raised in a... Okay, you did have sayings, right? All right, or maybe it was something like you were impatient and somebody would say, hold your... All right, so y'all just left me to dry on the first one. Okay, cool. All right. And maybe there were some helpful sayings too. Maybe some things that your parents or the people around you would say, stuff like actions speak louder than words, or garbage in, garbage out. There's some that were particular for my home growing up that stuck with me is I'm going to do the best I can with what I have and where I am for Jesus' sake today. I'm thinking about just sayings like, what was the other one? God will always answer your prayers. Maybe not when or how you think they should be, but he will. And probably the one that stuck the most with me was remember who you are and whose you are. So those stuck with me. Little sayings, some of them silly, some of them helpful. But your words and your actions matter too. And you have influence over the people in your life in maybe a way that you don't even realize. And so that's the mindset that I want us to take this morning as we think about this series of being an influencer for the sake of Jesus with anyone at any time. Now, through part of this, as we get really kind of practical, I want to hone in on the family unit, and I want to hone in on parents, because we got to celebrate with baby dedication this morning, and even Nick is a parent, and getting to see him be an influencer in his kid's life, and starting that path of obedience. But we're going to look at this, but I want to look at the family, because the family was the first thing that God ordained. Before he ordained the church, or even government, he ordained the family. And it says in Genesis 2:24, it says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And so as we think about that and think about the family unit, parents, what are you doing with your words and your actions to influence your kids? Or maybe you're a grandparent. How are you influencing your grandkids for the sake of the gospel? Or maybe you're here and you don't have kids and you're going, okay, well, what does this mean for me? How are you influencing the people in your circle for the sake of Jesus? But as we lean into parents, there's a truth that we need to talk about. And Eric kind of mentioned this too this morning, but parents, you are the primary disciplers of your kids. There's a book called Almost Christian, and we're going to throw the quote up on the screen, but it says this, since the religious and spiritual choices of American teenagers echo with astonishing clarity the religious and spiritual choices of the adults who love them. Lackadaisical faith is not young people's issue, but ours. And then also the National Study of Youth and Religion said this: teenagers mirror their parents' religious faith. By and large, parents get what they are religiously. As if you weren't feeling the weight of being a parent already. You're welcome. But it's a good thing to think about. Is you can see the kind of faith your kids are going to have by looking at them. Our kids have an incredible way of being able to show us ourselves in a mirror. And sometimes that is incredibly sweet, and sometimes it is super sobering. Because you're going, where did you learn that from? And your wife or your spouse goes, it's you, okay? And so we have four kids. So you saw two of them, Mabry and Laurel, who are 3 months old. And then I have a four-year-old boy and a two-year-old boy, Hayes and Mac. And so our boys love the outside. I'm convinced that they are solar powered. And so we take them outside all the time. We spend a lot of time in the woods, and it's great. They love it. I love it. But one day after being outside all day, I was bathing Hayes, and I said, Hayes, man, you smell like the woods, buddy. Like, what's going on? And he looked up at me as a three-year-old, and just with a serious face as possible, goes, Dad, because I'm a man. We're headed in the right direction. All right. But here's the deal. We point our kids in the direction that we're going. And a lot of times churches will see young families come back to church once they start having kids. And a lot of times we hear something like this is either that, you know, I wanted them to have what I had growing up, or I wanted them to have something different than I had growing up. But the reality is that the church is meant to be an echo of what parents are saying in the home. And so the premise of what I'm saying to you right now is that if you're going to be an influencer for the sake of Jesus, whether it's within your family or within the circle around you, it starts with you. And so I want to look in 2 Timothy, and that's where we're going to start this morning, is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and start turning there. We're going to be all over the place. So it's going to be kind of like a Bible drill. Good luck. It's also going to be on the screens if you need it, though, so we'll have it there as well. But 2 Timothy is written by Paul, and he writes this to a man named Timothy who he cares deeply about. And it's interesting, if you have time to read this later on, is that Paul sees something in Timothy that I don't think Timothy even sees in himself. And that is important to grasp as you think about how you influence the people around you, because sometimes God gives you a glimpse into other people's lives to help them see things that they may not realize on their own without you. So it's really powerful. But we're going to read 2 Timothy verses 3 through 5, and it says this: I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy, and I'm reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. There's a lot packed into this, but I just want to look at the three people that Paul talks about or that are mentioned in this passage, and that is Paul, Grandmother Lois, and Mother Eunice. And so I want to look at the impact that each one of them had in Timothy's life, and I want to start with Paul. Now, I said we're going to look at the family unit, but Paul is not a family member, right? Timothy's father was Greek, and so that explains why he wasn't raised knowing the scriptures by his dad, and why it's such a big deal that his grandmother and his mom made such an investment in his life. Now, it's also possible that Timothy's dad passed away when he was young, or just that he never made that decision to follow Jesus. But either way, the pivotal people in his life were his mom and his grandmother, but then also Paul, someone who was not within his family member. So I want you to think about for just a minute, who are the people in your life that have had a profound impact and have influenced you? You know, as you think about maybe coaches or teachers, small group leaders, maybe a pastor, a neighbor even, the people that have impacted your life. And I want to share with you in just like a few minutes, if we will, and just share just a few guys who had a profound impact in my life. And there's a reason I want to do this, and I want you to listen and hear about how they went about this. Important for you, okay? So the first person I could think of going all the way back, 6-7 years old, was a guy named Tommy Silas. And so he was a deacon in the church where I grew up. And he took an investment into my life. And so even as young, we would go outdoors and we would run his hunting dogs and we would make a big campfire. And then over those embers have just the best hamburgers I can ever remember. But what was really important was not all of that. I mean, that was important. But he treated me like a young man and not a child. And that had an impact in my life. Now, Tommy Silas was a retired guy. I don't know what he did. I was seven, okay? So we did things together. And then as I got a little bit older into the youth group, there was a farmer named Luther Riddle, and he also volunteered in our student ministry, and he was known as the old guy. He's still kicking, and he's got to be really old now. I don't know. But he taught me a lot of things. Taught me about how to work cows, how to do hay. He proposed that kerosene and rock salt is a viable alternative to stitches and in medical care for a deep cut. Whose advice I did not take on that. But he also showed me what it looks like to put your wife before yourself. And so, major impact. Matt Sasser, who's a CPA, somehow roped me in when I lived in Mississippi to go into the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he would pick me up and we would have talks about life and how tired we were, but then also just being there to kind of be in each other's life. But then I watched him walk through one of the most difficult things in his life ever. And he never stopped praising God throughout the entire process. Major impact. Ken Oglesby, who worked for the United States Postal Service, he would see me back in I had a shop behind our house in Mississippi, and he would just stop by. And if you know me, that is not my personality at all. But he would just barge in, and he'd come in, and he would just make himself at home. And at first, I was like, what are you doing? But as our relationship began to grow, he really taught me how to care for other people. And I think about a man named Dudley Reeves, who worked for Hydrovac. And he would take me hunting when I had nowhere else to go. But he was so good at weaving God into everyday conversations and just talking about it so naturally. And it taught me how to weave God into my natural conversations and just to celebrate about the things that he was doing in my life. All of these men, profound influencers in my life, not a single one of them was a pastor. They were ordinary people just like you and me. And so as you think about the people who have influenced you, Satan is so quick to convince you that you have nothing to offer other people. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Because the deal is this, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been called to be an influencer in other people's lives for the sake of Jesus. So don't let Satan convince you that this doesn't apply to you. Because whether you're a student or you're a senior adult, God's got something for you if you'll let him do it. So Paul, as he influenced, I see him as being an intentional influencer. You see, a lot of you are already influencing people. You're just not aiming it. So let's be intentional with the influence that we have. Pray for specific people in your circles. Think about your classmates. Who sits next to you? Who's in the cubicle next to you? Who do you work with a lot? How about your neighbor who's next door? How can you be praying for them and asking God to give you opportunities to have spiritual conversations with them? And then start initiating those spiritual conversations of talking about who God is and what he's doing in your life. And a great way to do that is just listen for cues. And it may not be church word cues, like, will you pray for me? But it might be something like, man, I'm really worried. Prayer moment, right? Hey, I'm going through a tough time. Prayer request, right? You know that. And so when you hear those cues, or maybe it's even, hey, I'm so excited about this. Hey, how can I rejoice with you in that? And you initiate that. Man, I know this has been a difficult time for you, you know, what your family's going through. Is it okay if I just be praying for you? And if you're bold, you can even go, hey, would it be okay if I prayed for you right now? I've never had someone turn me down when I've offered to pray for them. Strange looks, yes, but turn me down, no. But you'd be shocked how many times I walk away from those situations going, that did not go well. And then a month or two later, they'll come back and they want to have a conversation because they know that you're a safe space. So how can you do that? How can you invite others to be a part of your church, of your small group, inviting them into your home, letting them be in your circle of influence? And so Paul was an intentional influencer. He thought about the way that he was directing people. And then we get to the family. We get to Grandmother Lois. And I think the passage from Joshua fits Grandmother Lois so well. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15 says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Now, you've probably seen that if you've grown up in church or you had grandparents who did, knit it on a wall or something like that. "For me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But here's the deal. Lois started something. She started something in her family. And it's a big deal that Paul mentioned two women by name in the Bible. I know we kind of just, we gloss over that, but this was a big deal that he called them out by name. and was praising them for what they had done. But Lois started something, and it affected her daughter Eunice, who then affected Timothy, who then became a pastor of the church in Ephesus, and that influenced, you know, an unknown number of people. And Lois decided to start something. So grandparents, you have influence in your kids and your grandkids' life. And what is it about grandparents that makes them so grand? I mean, they can say the exact same thing a parent has said, and your kids come back and they're like, you won't believe what they said. And it's like, that's what? Anyway, they're grand, right? And I could spend a lot of time talking about my grandparents, my pop and granny, but it was my mom's mom, Roberta, Memaw, who prayed with me when I was 7 years old to accept Jesus. And you got to understand, Memaw never met a stranger. She talked to every single person who would listen and some who wouldn't. And she, every chance she got, would talk about Jesus in those conversations. Jesus and the Gaithers, which if you don't know who the Gaithers are, it's a vocal band that sings about Jesus, so it's really just all Jesus, okay? But she had lots of spiritual conversations. But I was the only one that she had the opportunity to lead to Jesus. And that's encouraging because, listen, we can get in our minds of what we think influence should look like. And we can think about the results and the results that we think that should happen. When you're faithful, leave the results up to God. He's the one that's going to take that and plant that seed and put them in the next place that they need to go. Anytime you share, anytime you initiate a spiritual conversation, it's a win. And you may not see it right then. You may walk away going, God, that didn't go well. He's going, oh, you just wait. You have no idea. And so it can be awkward. It can be awkward, but it's incredible to be able to see that and then eventually come back and see it again later. But as we think about Lois, we think about how she was a directional influencer. See, the question shouldn't be, are people watching me or how big is my influence, but where are people headed because of me? How are your coworkers, your family, your neighbors, how is their day changed after they spend time with you? Is it headed towards hope? I don't know. What about your friends? Are your friends around you open more to having faith conversations? Because you know, it's just as awkward as it is at first to start that it gets easier and it gets more comfortable and you get more creative and God gives you more opportunities. Are family members seeing a different way to live in both good and difficult times? Are you being a directional influencer with the decisions, your words, and your actions and pointing people towards Jesus, taking advantage of opportunities with anyone at any time? And then lastly, we see the mom, Timothy's mom, Eunice. And I'm going to read a little bit more of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, Mom Eunice was an authentic influencer in Timothy's life. Jesus didn't just talk about these things. He lived it out. He lived out the faith that he was talking about it. So we're going to hone in on parents for just a minute, okay? Your kids are watching you. They're watching to see if your faith is just something you talk about, or if it's just a Sunday thing, or if it's something you believe and you're living it out. So do your kids see you pray for both really big things and little bitty things? In my family, we prayed for cars a lot. We had a lot of used cars and old cars. We enjoyed working on them, I guess. And so we would pray about that. And it was a neat thing to see as we would pray about even the little things like that, how God would provide, and we would thank God for that. So what are some things, how your kids can see you pray? Do your kids see you apologize when you mess up? It is not a sign of weakness to tell your kid that you're sorry because you blew up, because you reacted in anger instead of with compassion. It doesn't mean you don't have to discipline, but saying I'm sorry is a good thing. Do they hear you speak truth even when it's inconvenient? Nothing communicates importance more than when we talk about the things that matter most to us. So your kids are watching you. Consistency builds trust. It has to be a thing that we're consistent with. Listen, your presence is more memorable than any pulpit will ever be. The things that you say, the way that you act, will have a more profound impact than any pastor or preacher ever will. And so Deuteronomy mentions three places. In the car, you know, memorize scripture together. Talk about, hey, how did you serve someone today? I know of one family that their rule is for the first 5 minutes, there's no cell phones. and we're just going to have a conversation. After that, you want to zone out, you're free to do it. But for the first 5 minutes, let's just talk. And a lot of times that led to longer conversations. Now, your car rides are going to look different, and there may be different seasons. Right now, we're in a season where one of our twins just likes to cry the entire time. So there are no meaningful conversations, just praying for patience, right? But lean into those seasons. Maybe it's at dinner time. You put the phones away and you share with your kids what you're learning from God's word, what he's teaching you. Talk about how you're making big decisions. They're watching this and they are way more perceptive than you may realize. And so talk about the things that you're learning and how you're making these big decisions, what scriptures God is pointing you to, what prayers you're praying, where you're worried, or maybe what you're like, you know, I doubted God about this and yet he showed up again, or I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I know I can trust God in these moments. Talking about those things at bedtime, praying over your kids, hearing them pray. I love our preschool ministry. Amy does such an incredible job with it. And they learn a memory verse each month. And Hayes each night will recite that memory verse. And Mac's a little too young to do it yet, but man, he celebrates every single time. Hayes gets it through. And I think that's incredible. They're being encouraged in doing that. Or up our stairs, we have three pictures that we had printed. It says honor, relationship, and truth. And it's three kind of values we want to instill in our kids. And I wish I could tell you that every single time we walk up the stairs for bedtime, we talk about each one intentionally. Some nights we're just ready for bedtime to be over. It's just so we can have, you know, Bethany and I time so we can talk for just 1 minute. And so it doesn't always happen. But listen, consistency is not the same thing as perfection. So have a little bit of grace with yourself, but have those prompts ready to be able to help you through that. And then lastly, proximity creates opportunity. What do your kids like to do? How can you spend more time around them and them doing the things that they love? Faith sometimes is caught more than it's taught. There's another quote from that book, Almost Christian, that says, students who sustain vibrant faith almost always had adults in their lives whose faith was observable, talked about, and integrated into daily life. So how can you spend time around them and point some conversations and some things towards God? That's going to look different based off of the age that they are. I told you my boys love the woods. And so when the twins were born, I was looking for opportunities to spend a little, you know, one-on-one time with just them. And so we just went to the woods. We've got this really cool stream behind our house that was freezing cold this January. But that's what they love to do. So we threw rocks in the streams and all the things that little boys love to do. And maybe dads too. And so, but I would take those opportunities and just ask them, you know, hey, who made this stream? You know, oh, well, God made this stream. That's right. Okay. You know, why do you think God made a stream? Well, for the birds and the snakes. No, we're not. No, definitely not for snakes. Maybe birds and deer, you know. But you know, do you also think that it could be because God is a good father and he wants things for us to enjoy? You know, oh yeah, you know. So, well, hey, can we thank God for nature and just the ability that we have access to this and the ability to play together? And then Hayes just started praying. And it was short and sweet and definitely more about the snakes, but that's okay. But it's just using those little moments to try and to make conversations about God, make conversations about your faith more common, more normal for them. So I know I've shared a lot with you, and this is not coming from a place of I've got all this figured out. I got a long ways to go, okay? But here's what I do know, is that if you want to be an influencer in your life, whether that's with your kids or the people around you, it starts with you. You have to be being discipled. You have to be growing in your faith, because it's not going to just naturally come out. It's going to leak out, and that's what you want to do. So I want to look at just a couple practical things real quick as we wrap up about what discipleship can look like in your life. And one of the things to understand is that it's not automatic. When you make that decision to follow Jesus, you don't all of a sudden just start being discipled. And same thing's true for your children. So decide some ways that you can be intentional, both in your life and in the life of your kids, about how you can be discipled and they can be discipled. And it's good to be specific with that. There's a family, and they have four kids, and they're all grown out of the house now, and all of them are incredible. And so I've been talking to him once I found out we were having twins. I was like, what do you do with four? And he's like, well, hey, you got to figure your own thing out, but here were some non-negotiables in our house. And they were specific, all right? And so it was like church was a non-negotiable, you know? And if there's a point in time in life where that becomes difficult, like we're going to have conversations, and you are welcome to have questions. But it's going to be part of our family unit. with their allowance, they had to save some and then obviously tithe some, but then they had to give some away. So a portion of their allowance each month, they had to give away to somebody. And so it taught that heart of being free with the money that God has entrusted us with. And they had to have some sort of physical activity, whether it was a sport or, you know, running or whatever. But we know that our spiritual, emotional, and physical tanks are all connected. And so we need to make sure that we're pouring into each one of those. And then lastly, for them, they had a 5-minute devotional at dinner. Now, for some of you, that may work out. For some of you, it may not. Don't feel bad if that's not part of your routine. But just be specific. Create prompts to help you get started. Place your Bible somewhere where it reminds you, or have scripture sent to your phone so it can prompt those times. Create a reward system if you need to. I mean, whatever you got to do. But then also understanding that this is a process. It's not automatic, but it's also a process. And sometimes we can get convicted in thinking that our faith walk should be like a straight line. But in reality, it has a bunch of loops. That's the word I was looking for. Loops and twists. And you might go backwards and you might get tongue tied, but eventually you'll start heading back in the right way. But be patient with yourself. Have a little grace with yourself in the process. And the same thing with your kids. They're not going to get it perfect every time, but use those opportunities to influence them in the right direction. And then lastly, it takes discipline. The word disciple literally comes from the word discipline. And so show your children what's important to you, using both your words and your actions as you influence them. Talk to your children about why it's important to spend time with Jesus. And the more time that you spend with Jesus, the more time you're going to want to spend with him, even when you don't feel like it. And so the call for parents is simple. Be with your kids, walk with Jesus, and bring them along. Be that primary influencer in their life because you do have something to offer them. So Psalm 78, 4-7 says this: "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob and he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn would teach their own children. And so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." We got a lot to celebrate today. Again, we saw parents committing to raise their kids as they influence them. We saw Nick, an adult who has chosen to be an influencer and being obedient in his next step. We get to see a church committing to walk alongside both of those, being influencers. So what is your next step in this? What do you need to do so that you can be a directional influencer of helping point people towards Jesus at any moment? In just a minute, I'm going to pray and then we're going to be done. But there are going to be some people down here at the front. They'll have badges on or name tags, and you can come up and talk to them. They're here if you want to pray. If you've got something, you're going, hey, I want to get plugged in. I want to start serving, but I don't know what that looks like. They can get you connected with someone who does, or you can mark that on your connection card. But think about that next step. Maybe it's baptism. Have you been putting it off because it intimidates you? The light is so bright, you can't even tell you guys are out here. All you hear is cheers. It's great, okay? But whatever that next step is, maybe it's getting plugged in and investing in the next generation, being an influencer with our preschoolers or our kids or our students or our food bank or one of our ministry partners. And you're like, man, I need to be more intentional with the influence that I have. Whatever it is, you're not alone. We know this is difficult, but that's why God created the church, because he created us for community and we were never meant to do it alone. And we want to walk alongside you as you figure out what your next step is and help encourage and equip you to be able to take that step. And so I pray this morning that you ask God to show you where you can be an influencer and be ready. Because when you ask God for opportunities, he will provide them. So be ready with that. Whatever it is, are you ready to be an influencer with anyone at any time?